as Pastor said this morning, let's continue to remember our teacher, Brian. I know he's gone through a lot. He's going through a lot. But thank God the Lord's with him. He can strengthen him. He'll comfort him. And that's part of what I wanted to talk about to you today. I know today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you. You know, I thought, well, we should talk about something that pertained to fathers and being Father's Day, so we'll try to do that. But I've had a scripture on my heart for probably going on a year now, so it's hard not to talk about that. Brother John last week talked on faith out of the book of Hebrews, and he looked back at me and he said, if Brother Thurman teaches next week, maybe he'll talk to us about nurturing our faith. So I wanted to try to talk about that. And then we're just coming out of Bible school, and the theme for Bible school was sailing with Jesus. So, you know, I wanted to talk about that. How do you talk about all four of them at the same time? And but the Holy Spirit led me to this chapter, these scriptures, and He showed me how it can all four work together. So I pray the Holy Spirit just has His way. So if I was going to title what I'm going to be talking about today, it's nurturing our faith. That's what John asked me to talk about last week, but I think it fits in right with Bible school, and it fits in with this scripture that's been on my heart, and I think it fits in with Father's Day. What I'm going to be talking from is Psalm chapter 23. It's one of the most familiar chapters in the Bible, I think. What I'm going to try to focus on first is the first five words, though, and then we'll see how far we get about going through the rest of it. Looking at Father's Day, though, along with being a father, there's a great responsibility comes to each and every one of us that plays the role of a father. It's our responsibility to provide for our families, protect our families, discipline our families in love, to lead our families. As the leader of our family, we must show them the right ship to sail on that they talked about in Bible school. We do that through our life, the life that we live. We do that by taking them, not sending them, but taking them to church, introducing them to the gospel, the Word of God. Leading them and pointing them to Christ, not just telling them about it, but showing Him through our life and through our actions. Sometime back, I read the following statistics, and I went back this weekend trying to find where I got them, and I couldn't find them. I know there was a study done over in Switzerland that might have been where these came from, but I couldn't actually find the reference. It says, if a child is the first one saved in a family, there's a 3% chance that the entire family will get saved. So that child, if they're the first one saved, and the fact they want to go to church and they're a witness to their family, there's a 3% chance that the entire family will be saved over the course of their life. If a mother's the first one saved in a family, that bumps up quite a bit, but it only goes to 17% that the rest of the family will follow the Lord. If the father is the first one saved in the family, there's a 93% chance that the rest of the family will follow his lead and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. That puts a great responsibility on us as a father. And I'll say it's time for us to step up, to man up, and fulfill the role that God designed us to fill. But that's also a great promise. If you're a father and you show them the way to Christ, it's pretty likely that your whole family is going to be saved. As I said, I'm going to read Psalm 23. We're going to start out just in the first verse, actually the first five words in that verse. And this came to me, it's been several years ago. It's actually early one morning with one of my sons. We were out going deer hunting. And where we go deer hunting, we have to get up early. We have to get up 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning to get over there, to get in the woods by daylight. And we talk a lot as we go over. It takes about an hour and a half to get back there, so we've got a chance to talk. And we were just talking about this one morning. It blessed my soul talking to him about this, and it's been on my mind ever since then. periodically it just comes back up and comes up. But these first five words, and I want to look at them putting emphasis on one word at a time. I'm going to read the whole chapter to start with, but then we'll go back to these first five words. And I would ask you all, as I read these, would you read them with me? We're going to read the whole chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I read that through that chapter, to me it's just natural that if we'll meditate on verses like this and chapters like this, Brother John, it's going to nurture our faith. It's going to build our faith. It's going to give us a testimony about things the Lord has done for us in these verses and these promises that we have. But those first five words really caught my attention. The Lord is my shepherd. In those first five words, we've actually got one of the names, one of the 16 names that have the word Jehovah in it. It's Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord my shepherd. So it's one of the 16 names we've got for God in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a blessing to be able to say that this morning. I hope every one of you out here can say that the Lord is your shepherd. I know the pastor, a while back, he read through this chapter, and wherever you have an I or a me or a my, he put his own name in there and encouraged us to do the same, and that was a blessing. That was another way of meditating and dwelling on this chapter and nurturing our faith. So as I said, I want to look at these first five words and put emphasis on each word and talk about that a little bit. So the first way of looking at it is, the Lord is my shepherd, with emphasis on the word the. It's not a, or it's not one of, or it's not some. He said the, indicating there's only one. I say amen to that. There's only one true and living God. And he loves every single one of us enough that he's made a way to get back to him. No matter where we stand, no matter what we've done, his love never changes for us. He loves sinners just like he loves the saved person. And there's only one Savior. There's only one way for sinful man to come back to God through that Savior. There's only one good shepherd, our Lord Christ Jesus. He is the one that is my shepherd. The only one that can be. And he loved us enough to volunteer to come and pay the price for us on Calvary. Pay our sin debt to fulfill the law, to die on that old rugged cross because he loved us. He is the one that we call Lord, and he is the one that is my shepherd. The Lord, the one and only, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Meditate on that this week. That's just one word, but let that one word bless your heart. That should give us a testimony and help us to be a witness to the lost people around us, helping us to follow closer in our daily walk with our Lord and Savior. Going on to the second word, and doing it this way, it may take a while to get through this chapter. So, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, the emphasis this time, not some mighty man, not some wise man, not some great prophet or preacher, not even you, Pastor. Certainly not ourselves. But the Lord God Almighty is my shepherd. The God who created me, the God who's still alive and thus forevermore, the Heavenly Father that loves me, the one who died for me, that paid my sin debt, the one who came looking for me when I wasn't looking for him, the one that knocked on my heart, showed me the true nature of my heart and what I needed, the one that offered me forgiveness instead of judgment, the one that gave me the Holy Spirit to dwell within me, to lead me and guide me. That's the Lord that's my shepherd. I praise God for salvation. I praise God for what he's done in my life. I praise him for his love and for his mercy. I praise him for his grace to help me get through trials as I need it. I praise him that he's Lord and that he's my shepherd. When Christ becomes Lord to us, that's when we're able to be saved. When he becomes Lord, we stop serving sin, and now we serve him, and he becomes our Lord. That's why believing on God is not enough. Even the devils believe in God, and the Bible says they tremble. That's in James 2 and 19. But we must repent when the Holy Spirit reveals to us the nature of our heart. And we must lovingly and willingly accept Christ as Lord of our life. That Lord, the one who forgives me, the one who saved me, that Lord is my shepherd. Going on to the third word, the Lord is my shepherd. Is means right now. It means the present. The Lord is my shepherd. He is alive and well, and thus forevermore. Even now, he's at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for us as we need it. When the old accuser comes and accuses us of when we fail in life, our Lord, our shepherd, is there making intercession for us. When we pray to the Father for things we need or things that we have concerns of, our Lord is there making intercession for us. He is there now. David remembers what God has done in these verses in his life and what God promises to do in the future. So do I. I know that God saved me as a young boy. I know he's answered many prayers right before my very eyes. I know he's always provided what I've needed. I know he has healed me. He has protected me. He has corrected me out of love. He's given me grace every morning afresh. I know he has promised me things in the future. He's promised to come back and take me home with him. He's promised to walk with me and never leave me, never forsake me. He's promised to always be truthful with me, to never lie to me, to never fail me. I believe on all those promises. But there's nothing like hearing afresh from God right now. When he speaks to me as I pray, when he speaks to me from his word, like these scriptures here that I'm talking about, these have been on my heart a long time. When he speaks to me from your singing and from your preaching, from your testimonies, he's doing that right now in the here and now. You can't do that if you're not alive. When I feel his love and his mercy and his grace anew every day, when I feel his forgiveness when I do stumble and fail, amen. When I feel the Holy Spirit rising up within me to where I can't contain it, I have to say something. That's the kind of feeling that you can't get in anywhere else. And I know that my God lives and he's with me. Praise him. When I feel his urging and his guidance guiding me in the path that I need to go, it's a blessing. And I know again that he's there with me. The Lord is still here with us. That is the Lord who is my shepherd. He is. He always has been, and he's always going to be. That's the wonderful Lord that is my shepherd. Moving on to the fourth word. The Lord is my shepherd. It's good and right to believe in God, to believe that he created all things. It's good to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he actually lived and walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. But friend, believing that is not enough. Believing that God created everything is the first step. But we've got to go beyond that. He's got to become my God, my Savior, my Lord, and my Shepherd. Jesus must be accepted as my Lord and my Savior to be my sacrifice and my Redeemer in order for me to be saved. My is personal, and we must have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father and Christ if we hope to have eternal life with Him. It's awesome that an almighty God who created the universe and every person in it would take the time to come and search me out on a personal basis. That's how this works. It has to be one-on-one with our Heavenly Father for Him to become my shepherd. Almighty God loves each one of us enough to take the time to come to every single one of us during our life and reveal Himself to us, offering to come in and be part of us forever. That's the God that we serve, the God that I serve, the God that I love, and the one who is my shepherd. Yeah. It's personal. And finally, the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd describes Christ, but it also describes us. First, if Christ is the shepherd, then that means we are the sheep. Sheep are basically helpless, totally dependent on the shepherd. That exactly describes mankind and certainly describes me. Our pride tells us we are able. We can do it on our own. But that's a blatant lie. God gives us every breath that we take. God gives us every heartbeat that our body enjoys. You know, and I'll challenge you, if you don't believe that, just try it. Stop your heart right now. Or speed your heart up without getting up and running around. Hold your breath for a while. As soon as you lose consciousness, you'll start breathing again. That's God giving it back to you. God gives us every heartbeat and every breath that we take. He gives our mind the ability to comprehend and think. He can withhold that the same as He can give it. God is in control of everything at all times. We are totally dependent on our God for all we do and all we have, just like sheep with the shepherd. Sheep are also defenseless, just as we are without God. Without God, Satan would have his way with every one of us. Satan hates us. He wants to destroy us. And he would if God wasn't protecting us. Sheep are also followers. They will follow other sheep even into danger until it's too late. We will often blindly follow other men or other women, often led astray into sin and disappointment. But we have the Good Shepherd leading and carrying and protecting us. Christ describes himself in John 10 and 11. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In 10 and 14, he says, "I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." That shows a personal relationship that we spoke about earlier that we can have with our shepherd. Our shepherd loves us. He provides for us. He protects us. He knows what's best for us, and he has a future home for us that he's leading us to if we'll follow him. I am just like sheep, and Christ the Lord is my good shepherd. Today we've talked 20 minutes here, and we've only got through five little words. That's what I was talking about when I was saying if we can meditate on these scriptures, it'll certainly nurture our faith, John, like you were talking about last week. Knowing that the Lord is my shepherd and having His Holy Spirit within me, I can hope to sail with Jesus like we talked about in Bible school, preacher. Knowing our Lord is able and knowing He is faithful, we can stand in faith believing His promises that we have in His Word. He will guide us. He will strengthen us. He will give us wisdom for the decisions that we face. He will fill us with His love that we can share with the world. He will always be with us. He will heal us. He will answer our prayers. He will comfort us. In the end, our shepherd's going to take us home to be with Him. Whether it's in death in this life or whether it's through the rapture, Either way, we're going up to be with the one who died for us. Meditating on promises like these is how we can nurture our faith and how we as fathers can lead our families to the right ship to get on. Going on down through the chapter a little, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want there means I will not lack for anything. We really need to get hold of that right there to help us through each day. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not lack anything that you need. God promises to meet all of my needs, physically and spiritually. If I'll grab hold of that and I'll believe that, a lot of my worries are going to go away. We start worrying when we get off of that scripture, we get away from believing that. That's when worry starts creeping in. I shall not want also means my salvation is already fully paid. It lacks nothing. I shall not want, I would also say I shall not want to go back to what I was. I'm a new creature. I'm created in the image of Christ now. I need to follow Him and live like Him and reflect Him to the world. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This speaks of physical and spiritual nourishment. He maketh me to lie down. Sometimes He has to make me to rest, to stop. A lot of times we will want to just rush through. We've got a target in mind or a goal in mind, and we want to rush on through when the Lord says, no, just wait right here a minute. We'll rush right past the blessings that are all around us that He has for us when we've got our eye too far in the future and the wrong thing, getting our eye off of Him. I may just rush on through missing what I need or missing what He has for me. Or I may not be ready for what lies ahead, what He has for me. And I need to rest in green pastures, learning the lessons that He has for me before I'm ready for the challenge that lies ahead. He also makes me to rest by saying, lie down, and He feeds me while I rest. The world runs around chasing their dreams, but we can rest as God leads us to our dreams. He leads us to green pastures, to good places that only He knows about. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Still, again, refers to a place where we can rest while also being cleansed. As we go through life, this life's dirtiness tends to stick to us, to accumulate on us, to slow us down. The still waters not only refresh us, but they can also cleanse us, and that's where He leads us to. It's not up to us to find those still waters. Sometimes still waters are dangerous more than they are refreshing, and the Lord knows the difference. He's going to take us to the ones that are good for us, that are healthy for us, that we need, not to the ones that are stagnant or poison that are going to hurt us. The Lord is my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. Every one of us has been through where we've needed our soul restoring at times. Praise God for those times. He comforts us in those tough times and sorrowful times by sending other believers to us to encourage us and to help us. He answers our prayers in those tough times. He reveals His promises to us and gives us His love and forgiveness when we turn back to Him in those times that we fail. He restores our soul by giving us peace in our trials and giving us grace to overcome all that we face. He restores our soul by restoring our relationship with a Heavenly Father who's righteous and holy. The world can't do any of that in our times of trouble and our times of need. The world can offer distractions. It can offer false hope, false promises. But when our soul needs restored, where in the world can you go to have the needs of your soul addressed? The only place you can go is to our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Our shepherd will never lead us astray, never lead us wrong. He gives us the Holy Spirit living within us to guide us, and He will never, ever go against God's word. The Lord knows more than we do. I think every one of us have to say amen to that. He knows the future and the past, and he knows what's best for us. He knows when we need it and how to get us there. Following him, nothing can take us from him. For anything to get to us, it has to go through our Lord and our shepherd first to get to us. The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Here I'll call your attention. Notice the change from he to thou. It's again showing a personal relationship, but it's also display or demonstrating a closeness of that relationship. He can be a little far off. Thou, he's close enough you're talking to him. It demonstrates a closeness, a trust, a faith, a friendship, and love in that relationship. We're going to go through valleys in life, but we can have faith that it's for our good or for the good of those around us, and that God knows what he's doing when he takes us there, and that he won't leave us there in the valley alone. He will be with us, and we are safe and secure in his care. Pastor recently talked on this verse as well, and he said for there to be a shadow there, there also has to be a light there. That's telling us that the Lord is with us, even in our darkest times, even in our valleys. Shadow of death, that speaks to me. We no longer have to fear death. There's just a shadow there. Christ overcame death. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The Lord has already conquered death for us. We no longer have to fear it. When we face death, we can have comfort in his promises that if we stay or if we go, we're going to be with our Father in heaven. The next life is much better than what we have now, and our shepherd knows the way to that life. He knows the way to take us there. Even through the valley that gets us there, he'll be with us. The Lord is my shepherd. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That tells me even when we're being persecuted for our faith, even when we're being passed over for the things of the world that we think we deserve, remember that our Lord is still in control. And he is working things together for our good. We will reap our rewards when we don't expect it, or we'll reap our rewards in the end. And we'll certainly be rewarded for our faithfulness when we enter into heaven. Sin always has a penalty and a price to pay. Stay faithful to God. Thou anointest my head with oil speaks of healing, soothing, comforting, removing distractions. It speaks of our God being close to us, close enough to touch us, to lay his hand on us, being willing to come to us even in our dirty and our wounded condition, hold us in his hands and anoint our heads with oil. He sets us back up, dusts us off, puts our feet on the solid rock where we can take back off in his service again. He is ever present to care for us. My cup runneth over. God pours his blessing on us to the point we can't contain it. It has to spill over. Even in our trials and our sorrows, even in the midst of our enemies, God has the ability to touch us, to bless us, shows his love for us, and in those special times, often our hearts can't contain it. You're going to have a testimony from that. You're going to be a testimony to the others. The world's watching how we go through trials, how we go through trouble, and that's when they can often see the Lord the strongest in us. He is a wonderful and a loving God, the way he heals us and cares for us. The Lord is my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God never changes, his love never fails, and he shows mercy to his children instead of judgment. I'd say every one of us can remember back and attest to that as being the truth. That needs to be reflected in our actions and our works in his service. David had faith in God's goodness and his love and his mercy and all he experienced, and so can we. The same goodness and mercy that we've experienced thus far, as I said, our God never changes. We can experience and we can expect to experience that going forward. Our God doesn't change. He's always good. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's how we close the chapter, and here it is. This is what it's all about. This is our destination. This is our home in glory with Him. To get to that house, though, that eternal house in glory, we must follow the Lord, the shepherd of that house. He alone knows the way. He alone has the right to enter it. He alone has the keys. He alone can open the door. And through that door, every one of us must come. He alone has the power to take us there. The Lord is my shepherd. I encourage you to dwell on that this week. Let it build your heart up. Let it nurture your faith, as John talked about last week. Let it help you find the ship, the right ship to get on, sailing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as fathers, let it light the fire to lead your family in the right way, to live your life in the right way, to lead your children to Christ. I appreciate your time and your attention. Y'all have a blessed day. Thank you.